and the knowledge of yourself, gathering together your elect to the shout, which is the beginning of the rapture for us. It's the gathering together of your elect to the word, to the message, knowing that the message is the shout, and getting us ready by bringing forth a transformation, beginning with the inner man, knowing that the inner man has got to be renewed. And this, Father, then brings forth a transformation of the body, adding cell upon cell upon cell. Even as we have a word body, which is a word upon word, which is spoken, and even as a human body would add as it conceives in life and then it begins multiplying cell upon cell, we believe the word body, which you had in your thoughts before the foundations of the world for us, knowing we bypassed that, yet it was still eternal in the heavens. And so, Father, we knowing that we'll go to that word body, and that word body is adding cell upon cell upon cell as we dwell upon the word, as we believe in the word, and as we confess it. For we know that if we believe in our heart and we confess it, it brings forth salvation, which would be a salvation even for this body. And so, Lord, we just commit our going home to Thee, and we ask, Father, that You would give us the understanding of the present-day light which You have come and given in this hour. And we pray that You'd help us to place it correctly in the Scripture. And, Father, we just give You all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Wednesday evening, we spoke from Romans 10. We're back into Romans again. And this is number 58. And we'll call this message, or subtitle it, The Calling and Saving by the Word. And as I said, Wednesday evening, we began by reviewing Romans chapter 10. And we put our emphasis on the verses 9 through 11, which we could read as the following. And if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And we'll read verses 9 through 11 to review and to take our text for today. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto right wiseness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now Wednesday night we examined these words, especially verse 9, because Paul is telling us here that there is a certain belief that we must believe, that must be believed, and there is a certain confession that must be said in order for you to be saved. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Therefore, we saw the importance of having the right confession. He said, you've got to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. He did not raise himself, but God raised him up. And we showed you a dozen and a half scriptures Wednesday night, which tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, just in review, we'll take these quickly. We find in this very verse in Romans 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So our salvation rests knowing that God hath raised Jesus from the dead. We find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should die. Now, we find then that, we find that God hath raised him up. We find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which is the Holy Ghost, which you now see and hear. Acts 3 and verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Now notice, if Jesus is the Prince of Life, then God is the King of Life. See? Wherefore we are all witnesses. Acts 3 and verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquity. So we find again God having raised up his Son. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And again, Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Acts chapter 10 and verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Acts 13 and verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Acts chapter 13 and verse 37. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. And Galatians 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And Colossians 2 and 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we see here 16 scriptures, and there's actually 29, but I took 16 to glean through it, just to let you know that it was God who raised Jesus from the dead. It wasn't Jesus raising himself. You know, the oneness want to say, well, Jesus said, you know, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Well, who's talking? Let's face it, who was talking? If we believe Brother Branham to be a vindicated prophet of God, he said there was a duality there. Sometimes Jesus, the man, was talking. Sometimes God that dwelt in him was talking. So when he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Number one, you see see how people can get things messed up? Back when the Jews thought he was talking about the temple. You know, that they came to worship in. But he was talking about this temple. He said, destroy this temple. Not that temple. This temple. And in 3 days I'll raise it up. God was speaking through his son. See? Now, so we find then that it's so easy for people to misinterpret things that Brother Branham says or that the scriptures say. We find in 1 Peter 1 and verse 21, it says, Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. See? Not that your faith and hope might be in Jesus the Son, although it's a good thing because God tabernacled in that Son. And I'm not putting down the Son by any means. He's my brother. He is the one who paid the sacrifice for me. It was his sacrifice. It was his blood. It was his body that was given. And God has chosen that body to identify himself with it throughout all eternity, because God doesn't have a body. So we had to work through his Son. See? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 30, Therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, Isaac, his promised son, see, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in elect figure. So we find then that Abraham and Isaac was the like figure of the Father and the Son. See? And so he knew that God, who gave him Isaac by promise, was also able to raise him from the dead, if you were to slay him. Now Paul said, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what's going to happen? Three words. Thou shalt, four words, be saved. All right, so our salvation then is fully dependent upon, number one, our believing, and number two, our confessing that God raised up Jesus, not Jesus raising himself up. See? And if you do not believe that, you're lost. Now, that's pretty strong words, and I don't usually make those declarations. Not like some. Now, that may seem like a rather bold statement to make, especially in this hour where the people are so morally bankrupt and so afraid to speak up for the Word of God's sake, but that does not change the facts. Now, that is a very important statement to make. And as I said, it seems awfully harsh. But it is perfectly in line with other statements which Paul made. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 6 through 9, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. Now, what does the word removed mean? Taken away, sure. Or fallen away. I marvel, I'm amazed, that you are so soon fallen away from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another, that word is heteros, gospel. Now, what does the word heteros mean? If a person's heterosexual, it means what? Okay, it actually doesn't mean the opposite, but it means of a different nature. Of a different nature. If they're homo sapien, they're of the same species. See? So the word heteros means of a different nature. And so Paul says here, he says, I'm amazed that you are so soon fallen away from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a gospel of a different nature, which is not another. Now, that's a different word there. And yet you have the same word another used twice in that scripture. But that's one of the complexities of English. That word another is actually a Greek word allos, which means a different one altogether. Different altogether. Which is not a different gospel, but it's a perverted one. He says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert. That word means to turn backwards the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, a messenger from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So when Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and throughout the entire scripture, Paul introduces him by saying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to preach any other gospel brings on the curse. And we know if the person brings on the curse, they're lost. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now the Weiss translation says, in fact, even if we or a messenger from heaven should preach a gospel to you which would go beyond that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. Even as we said on a previous occasion, indeed, now again I am saying, if, as is the case, anyone preaches a gospel to you which goes beyond that which you took so eagerly and hospitably to your hearts, let him be accursed. Now we find John say the same thing in 2 John 9. He says, everyone that goes beyond the limits of true doctrine, that word transgress means to go beyond the limits, everyone who goes beyond the limits of true doctrine and does not remain in the aforementioned teaching with reference to Christ does not possess God. The one who remains in the aforementioned teaching, this one possesses both the Father and the Son. That's the Weiss translation again. The NIV puts it this way in verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead, and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Remember how many times Brother Branham said the church is always looking back or always looking forward. But they're failing to recognize what God is doing right now. Now see, it's interesting because these are both fulfilled in this scripture of Paul, because he says, you've fallen away. Now, look, if you've fallen away, what does that mean? You're going backwards. Because as the light is moving on, you fall away, you just stop. Now what happens? The light's moved on, you're in the light from another day. See? You're stuck in the light of another day. So you've gone backwards. And yet Paul continues by saying, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed, fallen away from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a gospel of a different nature, which is not exactly another one, because there can't be another one, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert, turn backwards the gospel of Christ. See? And so we find here then, either going forward or going backwards, it takes you away from the actual revelation of the Word. And so in 2 John 9, he says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whosoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. Now those are pretty strong words. You know, we don't find real tough preaching like that anymore. You know, everything today is just so wishy-washy that, you know, they've come to the place that in Canada, if you preach out of Romans 1 and verse 28 about the wickedness and the homosexuality things, you can be thrown in jail. In many countries throughout the world, the World Council of Churches and all this is putting the pressure down, and all this global correctness that's going on. That we have a baseball player because when they asked him in an interview, he said, well, I wouldn't ride on a train, a subway train, that had a bunch of AIDS people on it. He said, I wouldn't sit next to him. Now, in order to be reinstated to play baseball, he's got, you know, this multi-million dollar contract, but in order to play and to get paid, he's got to go to psychological testing and counseling. Can you imagine this hour if Brother Branham was still alive? Oh, listen, you talk about having IRS problems back then trying to shut them down. You know, you've got people like the Clintons in the White House, and it doesn't matter what's in the White House. Look what's in Congress. I wish I had the piece of paper on me, but it was in the Fox News this week. They said, can you imagine working for this company? And I don't have the numbers right, but I'll just give you some illustrations. They said nine people out of 500 in the company, 500 plus in the company, have been arrested for spousal abuse. 119 have been arrested for passing bad checks or something like this, and drunken driving, I guess it was. And 80 some have been convicted of passing bad checks. I can't remember what the numbers were, but they're pretty up there. People can't even get a credit card because the credit's so bad. And they went on to talk about all these. So many of them have a record for having been using drugs, and just one thing after another. And then it says, you know, guess who this company is? It's your Congress. You could add up the numbers that were on that thing, and that is almost 500 and some different violations. That's why Brother Branham said politician could never make a right decision. And yet the whole world, the whole country, places their trust in voting for some men who are so unregenerate that it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican, they're leading this nation right down to hell. You know, people thought for a while there, then in 1990 they were going to get some guys come into Congress that were going to do something. What do? They turned out and played the same little games. The same little games. And then they thought, we've got this real good guy in there, you know, the white-headed fella, I can't remember what his name is. And, he's really going to lead this majority of the House and everything else, Newt Gingrich. What happened to him? He's just as perverted as the rest of them. Got just as much garbage in his back door as the rest of them. There's no salvation, brother, sister, outside this word. And there's no rapture outside the shout. because the shout is the message. See? From the Weymouth translation, he says, I marvel that you are so readily leaving him who called, notice, readily leaving him, wanting to leave him, who called you by the grace of Christ and are adhering to a different good news. For other good news there is none. But there are some persons who are troubling you and are seeking to distort the good news concerning Christ. But if we or an angel from heaven should bring you a good news different from that which we have already brought you, let him be accursed. What I have just said, I repeat. If anyone is preaching to you a good news other than that which you have originally received, let him be accursed. As Brother Vail said, you know, these guys that have run, this is really too bad that the true light, the people couldn't wait for the true light to come. And all these guys that have run around the world and have brought nothing but corruption, until all you've got out there is just a bunch of hybrid confusion. I was looking the other day on the brother in the Philippines there, the one that has the website, and he's got all these pictures of the different ministers that he's had. And frankly, I don't know if I really want to preach for that one, because when you look at the amount of corruption, all you have to do is look at the ministers. You know what they preach. Just about every false doctrine that's been known to this message is in those men. And you talk about pollution. To bring a clean seed over to a polluted vessel or vessels. When those people have received the message, but it's, it'd be one thing if it had only been people who had come over and said, here's the message, here's the prophet, just say what the tapes say. But when you look at the characters that have brought it, and you know what they stand for, some of them into polygamy and everything else, it's just a filthy thing. And so, praise the Lord for some of the little groups out there that have pulled themselves away from all that trash and nonsense, and they just want the doctrine. Paul said in verse 10, for I do not persuade men, Galatians 1 and verse 10, for I do not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Pretty strong. Let me read that again. For do I now persuade men? Do I now persuade God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren. But I want to make you, brethren, to understand that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. And if it took the pillar of fire and the apocalypse, the revealing or unveiling of Christ, then to understand the gospel, it will take the same thing today, thus making Alpha repeat in the Omega. Now let's read again from Romans chapter 10. And we'll go back to verse 9 and read from verse through verse 11. This should help us to have a better understanding, I believe, this time through, to see if we have a better appreciation for these words. Notice Paul is speaking to us here. He says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto right wiseness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now from faith is a substance, Brother Branham said, think of it. And people tell me that they've got faith and they say they can't believe in divine healing. Friends, if you don't believe in divine healing, you're lost. That's right. How are you going to, if you can't have faith enough for God to patch up this body to glorify Him in, how much more are you going to have faith to believe that God will take this old mortal and make immortality out of it to take it up? That's a direct divine healing. Oh my, there's going to be some awful disappointments at the day of judgment, at the resurrection, that's right. You know, there's many denominations that are lost because they don't believe in divine healing. Many of them. Many people, many millions of people. Because they rejected divine healing, they rejected God. Because they rejected divine healing, they rejected the Lord coming with healing in His wings. And they rejected then the ministry because that was only the epiphania to show forth, to get the people positionally placed so that God could unveil Himself. So by rejecting the healing campaign of God in this hour, they rejected God Himself. From resurrection of Lazarus, He said, and we are redeemed through the blood of Christ, and God Almighty is a spirit. And He overshadowed the Virgin Mary and created. God, the Creator, created the blood cell in the womb of that woman, knowing no man by sexual desire, you believe it. And that blood cell developed into the man which was the Son of God. And through the unadulterated blood of the Son of God, created blood by Jehovah without sexual desire, through the shedding of that blood on Calvary's cross, redeems us from sin and sickness. Hallelujah, brother. I'm ready to die for that this afternoon. And if you don't believe that, you're lost. That's right. I believe it with all my heart. Yes, sir. Now, that's exactly what Paul said. If you don't believe that God raised up Jesus from the dead, you're lost. Or you won't be saved. Or you've got to believe it in order to be saved. And Brother Brown says, see, if you don't believe that God had raised Him up, that God had created the body, see, he says, then you're lost. He said, I said, yes, He was divine. He was the created Son of God. And I said, God was in Him reconciling the world to Himself. See how Brother Brown places it right back again. He was just a mere man. He wasn't divine. Or she said, He was just a mere man. He wasn't divine. Said, I'll prove it to you by your Scriptures. Will you receive it? I said, if you can prove it by the Scriptures, I will receive it. And if I'll disprove you, will you receive it? And she said, I'll prove you first that you're wrong. And I said, let's have you at it. And she said, when He went down to the grave of Lazarus, said, He went down to the grave and He cried. And said, that showed that He wasn't nothing but a man, because He had sorrow in His heart. And He cried. And He was immortal. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'll agree with you that He cried like a man when He was going to the grave of Lazarus. But when He stood there in that little frame, that little frail frame, and straightened up, and He said, Lazarus, come forth, that was more than a mortal man. There was God speaking through His Son. Hallelujah. And a man that had been dead 4 days stood on his feet and lived again. You believe that? Yes, sir. And I said, it's true, woman. He was a man when he came down from the mountain that night and was hungry. And he looked all around over at a tree to find some food. And he was hungry like a man hunting for food. He was hungry. But when he took 5 biscuits and 5 little fishes and fed 5,000, that was more than a man. That was God in His Son speaking forth, the Creator Himself. Hallelujah. Going to call me a holy roller anyhow. Might as well have a big time while I'm here. Let me tell you, brethren. Yes, sir. Watch. He was a man when he was hungry, but he was God when he fed 5,000. He was a man when he was laying on his back in the back of that boat that night, when the troubled seas was troubling and bouncing, when 10,000 devils of the sea swore that they'd drown him that night, laying back there on the back of that boat, and so tired that he couldn't move, when even the mighty waves didn't even wake him. He was a man when he was asleep. But when he rose, hallelujah, and he come up there, and he stuck his foot on the rail of that boat, and he looked up and he said, peace be still, and the waves and winds obeyed him, he was God. And when the winds and waves obeyed him, he was more than a mortal, he was God. Brother, when he died at Calvary's cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died like a man. But when he rose on Easter morning, he broke every shackle of hell, death, and grave. He proved that he was God Emmanuel. He raised on high today, believe thou this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, believest thou this. He's here right now, believest thou this. He's the one that's working among us, believest thou this. I believe the Holy Ghost, is circling this building now. Believest thou this? I believe He can heal every one of us right now. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. Believest thou this? The angel of God is circling in this building right now. I believe that any man or woman in here that wants to be healed can stand on their feet right now and be healed. Believest thou this? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh God, author of life, giver of every good gift, send thy blessings to this people just now. Heal every one of them, Lord. May your mercy fall. May your power be here healing everyone just now. May they come forward and be well in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hold your hands. Praise Him. He's here now. He's healing people. Virtue's going out. Hallelujah. Believest thou this? He's here. From God's covenant with Abraham, He said, "And God the Creator created a blood cell in the womb of Mary that brought forth a son, Jesus Christ." Do you believe it? Outside of that, you're lost. If you don't believe that, there's not a way in the world of you to be saved. Tremendously strong statements. Yet under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, thus saith the Lord. From the anointed ones at the end time, He said, I was talking to a gentleman not long ago, a Christian scholar and gentleman, and he said, "Brother Branham, we refuse all revelation." And I said, then you have to refuse Jesus Christ, for He is the revelation of God, God revealed in human flesh, and unless you see it, you're lost. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you're dead, or you die in your sins." He is the revelation of God, the Spirit of God revealed in human form. If you can't believe that, you're lost. If you put Him a third person, second person, or any other person besides God, you're lost. "Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins," a revelation. You see, this is where the oneness have it all confused. They don't recognize that it's God all the way down, all the way through. Even the brother that wants to make it Jesus, you know, the Son of God back in the Old Testament, in Melchizedek, he's wrong. It was God in Melchizedek. It was God in the prophets. See? And it was God in His Son. Then where does it place all the glory, all the honor? In God. You see? It puts it all back in God. It was God changing His mask. That's the part they got right. The part they've got wrong is that they want to do away with the Son altogether. And they're wrong. He wasn't just a mask. That was the only body that God will ever be identified in. That's the only body that God will live eternally throughout the ages. It's through that Son. And He was more than a man, because God tabernacled deity in that man. Then Paul tells us, we not only have to believe it in our hearts, but we must confess it with our mouth. Because if we just believe it and do not confess it, it really means that we don't believe it. For Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth will speak." Therefore, if you truly believe it, it will swell up within you. It will swell up within your heart to the place that you can't hold your peace any longer. Maybe if I could say it in a few plainer words. If you really believe it, then you can't wait for the opportunity to speak it. But if you are not sure that you believe it, then you really don't have it yet. It's not alive in you. It's just a mental conception. Because the Word of God is a fountain that runneth over. It is not still water, but it is a living water that keeps coming forth and renewing itself and ever increasing within you, and you can't help but to open your mouth and speak His Word and identify with what He is and what He's doing. That's why it's called the rivers of life. Because my words are spirit and they're life. And His Word is likened to water. See? It's the waters of life, the rivers, the Word of life. Therefore, that brings us up to verse 12. "For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Notice Paul is speaking in verse 9. He says you've got to have that right You've got to have belief in your heart that'll bring you a right wiseness, and then you've got to confess it. Now, how do we confess it? He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 9, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we're talking about how do I be saved. How is it that I am saved? He says you've got to believe it in your heart that God raised him up. You've got to understand the difference, and you've got to confess it. Then he says, more specifically, in verse 13, if you're going to confess it, this is what happens. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, the calling is the confession. I hope that sinks in. Therefore, this believing and confessing is your calling upon the Lord. From the message, "At thy word, Lord," Brother Brown said, only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God put in the hand of man, is a committal and a confession. It'll do it every time. If you believe it, accept it on those bases, and believe it and stay with it, keep confessing it, then when you confess it. Now, but what if you're not sure what you believe? Can you be saved? From contending for the faith, he said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot understand it. It's a mythical thing until you're born again. There, the very life of God comes into you, everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes into you, and then you're a part of God, you're a son of God or a daughter of God, and then you see as God sees and you believe as God believes. So, brother, sister, if it's still confusion to you, you're not born again. And if you're not born again, you'll never be able to confess it correctly. You'll never be able to call upon the right Lord. And therefore, you'll never be saved. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. It'll give you the mind of God. Because it gives you that gene seed within you. So therefore, the real issue is this. How do you really know that you're calling upon the right Lord? The word Lord simply means master. The devil is the god of this evil age. He's the Lord of the winds, of the earth. He's the master of many lives, thousands and millions and billions of people in this world. How do you know that you're calling on the right Kyrios? The right Lord, the right Master. How will you know which Lord, which Master to call upon? Paul answers this question as we see in the next few verses. He says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Even though they say they hear, they boast in vain, unless they hear true preachers. For to hear false prophets means as much as not to hear. They hear and they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor do they preach the word of God. And how shall they preach," he says, "except they be sent?" Let's read these verses again. Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" In other words, if you don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if you don't have this understanding, how can you call upon the right God? "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things." This is directed against all conceited teachers and arrogant instructors. And if you notice in verse 14 and 15, There are four statements that Paul makes, that of which follow together in such a way that one leads to the other, but so that the last forms the foundation on which the others rest. Thus we see from what Paul said that it is impossible that those preach who are not sent. It is then impossible for those to hear who are without a preacher, and it is impossible for them to believe who do not hear, and thus it would be impossible for them to call upon the name of the Lord who do not believe. And thus it would be impossible for them who do not call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this point, that God sends out someone, a true minister of the word. Number one, if he does not send out any, then they who preach, preach falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Number two, then also, they who hear, hear error, and it would be better for them not to hear. Number three, then also they who believe would believe falsely, false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. And number four, then also they who call upon him would call falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to call. That is why many who run are running without a message. Brother Brown preached that, you know, the man running without a message. Today they're running without a message. They are. God sent a prophet. That's not a message. That's not the message of the hour. What was the message? My ministry is to declare him that he's here. That's why I say years ago when we had about four or five families run off after a certain little minister who wanted to be a minister. Where are they today? After 5 or 6 years, they finally said, well, you know, we realize that the guy just didn't have it. 6 years down the tube. 6 years following another gospel. 6 years calling upon a Lord, another Lord. Where's our discernment? You see, we're not into these things for popularity games. You can tell by the size of the church. If we really wanted to push for that, there's well over 100 people in this town alone. They're just kind of sitting back listening to tapes and kind of go here once in a while, go there once in a while. Drifters. If we really want to have a big thing, we'd have a lot of music. We'd have a lot of programs, and we preach very little doctrine, and this church wouldn't be big enough. We'd have to do like the Assemblies of God that sold the building. They went from 23 people to 123 people and had to give up the building. They were packing them in. Of course, when we got here, we had to clean up all the cigarette butts out in the parking lot. Some of these churches in the message with 1,000 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people. Then we got the big churches in town, all the big denominational churches. Heard on the radio the other day, they're talking about this certain ministry that had 10,000 people. I turned to LeVon and I said, I wouldn't want one of them. Not a one of those 10,000. When God has given us the best that there is, the cream of the crop, his kids, his elect. For such preachers do not preach. Such hearers do not hear. Such believers do not believe. Well, they're believers, but they don't believe. What kind of believer are they? An unbeliever. Such callers do not call. And they will all be damned because they would be saved by falsehood. Then we would see what is spoken of in Proverbs 1 and 28, which says, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the true, revealed, and vindicated word of God. I thought it was interesting last night. I was looking over some old notes of mine, and I come across in Isaiah where Paul's quoting here when he says, who shall believe our report? He says, or for Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? If you turn with me to Isaiah 28, excuse me, it's Isaiah 28 and verse 9. For whom shall he teach knowledge? The Rotherham says, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Now the Rotherham says, to whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, babies? He says, I don't think so. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he saith, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the relaxation or the refreshing. And we know that comes from the presence of the Lord. Yet they would not hear. Yet they would not hear. The refreshing comes from when? Relaxation time. Under what? The seventh seal. Yet they would not hear. Notice, he brings it, the relaxation, yet they don't want it. But the word of the Lord shall become unto them. Now the NIV says this way, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. In other words, works. But the Lamza translation says, filth on filth, filth on filth, vomit on vomit, vomit on vomit. And they shall go, fall backwards, be snared and taken. And what is vomit? It's food from another day. Then can you see the importance this morning of receiving a vindicated ministry? Because if it is not vindicated, then how do you know what you're hearing is not error? And if it is error, then how would you believe, then you would be believing error. And if you believe error, then you would be calling out to a wrong God. And if you call out to a wrong God, then how could you be saved? Therefore, God has come down to vouchsafe His own presence among us. And we know that we are the elect of God because He said so. It is not just something we have read in a book, but God Himself has come down and has spoken through the lips of His prophet, whom He has vindicated, and that is what I am standing on this morning. Can you imagine the mess that the mess age would be in if all of God's true fivefold ministry were to be called off the scene? Can you imagine if Brother Vail had been taken off the scene when Brother Branham was taken off the scene? I mean, this message is a total, total mess, except and outside of the revelation of Jesus Christ among us and the understanding of who it is that's among us. Like Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare Him. That's one thing, to declare Him. That's got it. That He, who? God, the Father of glory, is here. From uncertain sound, Brother Branham said, one day, God said, now you prophesied enough against them. Come on out of the field, and I'm going to let the judgments of your prophecy rain down on them. So Elijah went up on the top of the mountain up there for 3 years, when they was all about gnawing their tongues for pain. But he was sitting by a little brook. A little spring that had the spiritual revelation all the time, waters of life pouring up. But the rest of them, and listen, brother, sister, let me tell you, one of these days when God is just gets enough of this around here, and He will take all the true off the field, and then you'll want a revival. It has to come to pass. The prophet said that there would be a time in the last days when there would not be a famine only for bread and water, but for hearing the word of God, and the true servants will be taken off, and there will be a famine in the last days. It sure will be. Now, right now, we are being kept alive, eating three meals a day while Elijah is away. But wait until God shuts down the fivefold ministry one day. Then you talk about the people perishing for lack of bread. From Jezebel religion preached in Middletown, Brother Branham said, but there will be a one-man system come forth with the power and anointing of Elijah to fulfill the prophecy. Hallelujah. He'll shake it, and remember, he prophesied to them, and he prophesied and told them all the things, and God worked with him, but his final message was attacked in the White House. When John came, his final message was attacked in the White House of that day. Elijah's final message, when he talked down that road that morning, after being in the presence of God out there, walked down the road with old hairs all over him, his bald head shining and the whiskers blowing, and them little old eyes was gleaming with the glory of God, that stick in his hand and his feet just as steady as they could be. What's he doing? Walking right down from Samaria into the presence of the White House and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and fearing nothing. The churches had turned him down. The people had turned him down. So now he's giving his final attack upon the White House. Then what happened after that? Notice the name of the message, Jezebel religion. An attack on the White House. Tying in Jackie Kennedy and the Jezebel religion and the Mother Harlot system. Then what happened after that? Listen, after that attack, his voice became quiet. Nobody heard him no more. God called him off the scene. Said, "Elijah, you done made your message known to all Israel." They knowed it. "Now, come up here in the wilderness, get away from them, separate yourself, because I'm going to do something. I'm going to show them what it means to turn down my message." And what set in? War, famine, starvation. "Thus saith the Holy Spirit," watch what's coming. Watch what's going to follow. There was a famine, there will be a famine, or maybe not for bread, but for hearing the Word of God and His truth. All the churches will socialize and go right on into it just the same, just like they've already been swallowed up with it. Notice, they'll all socialize, gather together. But what did Elijah do? He found a hidden spring way up in the mountains where he got some water of life, divine revelation from God, as he set up there under the power of God. The revelation being a little hidden spring while the rest of them was famishing. And God blessed his servants, them ravens. They brought him something to eat while he was isolated from the people. And they were down there famishing for a revival and all going on, and don't hear no more of his revivals. Where's that old crank that goes around blasting our organizations? Where is he at now? They didn't know. He pulled himself with God out into an isolated place where they didn't hear his voice. Then they begin to see. When God sends forth a message and tells the people, and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You wait till after a bit. You just wait long and cry to hear the word of God. The Bible said so. There'll be famine in the last days, said the prophet. And not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere, hidden away. He ordained the ravens, his servants, bless them birds. His servants has kept the voice of Elijah alive during the time of his isolation from the church. The ravens brought him flesh and bread at morning, and flesh and bread in the evening, and he drank from the little fountains while the rest of them down there were doing without any spiritual water and food. Then one day after sin had taken its toll, and God has brought his people to their knees, Jezebel took everything, she wiped it all up, and she'll do it again. That's thus saith the Holy Bible. She'll do it again. She's right on the throne now, behind the figurehead, twisting it any way that she wants to. And nobody's going to stop her. Certainly nobody's going to stop her now. because what they couldn't get in the religious circles, they cut it into politics, and there they done it. That's exactly what they done, which the political will be a boycott, just exactly back to the mark of the beast as sure as I'm standing here, see? And the Bible said it. And I know we're getting late. I'll hurry. I got to get this last word in, if the Lord will let me. Watch. Elijah stayed up there until God moved him. He had no revivals. He preached not against it or nothing. He just stood up there with God alone out in the wilderness, because he was a wilderness man. He was raised in the wilderness. So was John, raised in the wilderness. He went out in the wilderness alone with God, took away from the church after he gave his message, and the church turned it down, and finally the organizations wouldn't do nothing, so he just had to move out. And God called him off the scene, took him out of the wilderness, and said, "Come on out here. They won't listen anymore. Come on. Then I'm going to throw my judgments upon them." Oh, yes. He'll be here one of these days. You watch. Then after the days of his prophecy, what happened? The church languished. The great terror of Jezebel, she took them all in herself, gobbled them all up, took them in herself and built groves and everything else. But one day God called him out again. And here he come out. Listen close now and don't get angry with me. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. When he come out, what did he do? He sent him to a widow woman. She once had a man power over her, but it took death to set her free so she could believe the prophet's word. You notice that? She had a husband that guided her this way and that way in one of the schools on down there. But during this great drought, he had been gobbled up. Death had taken him. She was no more hooked in any organization. So she was ready now to hear the word of the Lord. A woman, meaning the church, a widow, that her husband, the organization, had died, and she was just barely think she's living herself, and God said, "Go down to her now. She'll hear you. I've commanded her." Oh, we think sometimes, you little groups here, you little group there, that's so faithful and do everything that you can to have a meeting to try to show the people that your heart's right and that you want to get them right. And you think you have a hard time. But remember, God's got His eye on you. You love Him, and I know you love Him. And you wouldn't sit here, you wouldn't attend any such a thing. But God's got His eye on you, yes? And when He did, her husband had died, her organization died, so now she's ready to hear the prophet's word. So when the prophet come to the gate and asked her for a little water, she went to get it. Then he said, "Bring me a morsel of meal." And she turned and said, "As the Lord lives, I don't have nothing, but just enough." Now it looked like that he was sent to take what little she had, but it was vice versa. When she was willing to give what she had in support of the word, when she was willing to get rid of her own thinking, God fed her. And if you're willing to give what spirit that you do have, what spirit that God's given you to support of the word, then God will keep you alive. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, do you see a church? Don't think I'm beside myself. I'm not. But what you have got, what little you do believe in God, what faith you have got, place it on the word, not on organization. Put it in God's word and He'll keep you alive. She was ready then, because she couldn't before, because they wouldn't let her. But now she's ready. Will she receive it? God sent a prophet her way. Will she receive His word? Will she receive this prophet? Yes, she did. And He told her, said, "Now, what little light that you have got, place it in here and bring it to me first." And what happened? When the rest of the world was languishing and dying in hunger, her and her children and her household all eat 3 good meals a day, divine revelation of the word. I hope that you see it, friends. What went on? He stayed there until the famine was over, living with this woman, this church, that received him and believed his word, and he kept her alive, kept the church alive by the word of the Lord, because he said, "Thus saith the Lord." Brother, sister, the only thing we can stand on is a vindicated word of God for us in this hour. Brother Bram said there's coming a day. Elijah's already off the scene. The little widow woman, that's this little group, others like us, are being kept alive by that little stream of God's life, giving water, His Spirit, His Word. But one day, He'll pull the fivefold off as well. And when that happens, I believe that you'll be gone. Oh, they'll still have Brother Branham's tapes. But just like today, those tapes mean nothing to those people. They mean a good sensation. They mean maybe a nice story to hear. But there's no life coming forth from the pulpits today outside of just a little handful of widow women, little churches here and there that are longing and crying and holding on for what God has given us. Thus saith the Lord. All you have to do is look out amongst the message and you see the life is not in the people anymore. It's all become a social thing. You try to get on any of the chat rooms, they don't want to talk the doctrine. They'll kick you off. And if you believe the parousia, they'll say, we don't even want that parousia stuff on this chat room. Don't even counter, you get cut off. The brother sent me from Czechoslovakia. He said all throughout Czechoslovakia, Poland, Lithuania, Russia, all those eastern countries, he said, don't bring up the name Lee Vale. Don't use the word parousia because they're not even considered in the message. And then they're told, the people over there are told that those who believe the parousia, they believe that we're already in the millennium, that the Lord has already come, that the millennium is on. And you see the lies and the twisting and the fabrications that have been brought out of this country by men of ill repute who have taken the word, twisted it in such a way, and it was helped along by some who claimed to believe the presence, who preached a Jehovah Witness understanding of the presence, and they've done more damage to the literal truth until nobody wants it. Except for you hear a little cry here. A few handful of brothers down in Peru. They said, we have small churches, but we're the ones who want the doctrine. They said, the big churches, the big brethren down here, they don't have time for the doctrine. They're too busy building their church and their big the big ministries and their meal tickets. The same over in the Philippines. It's a handful of little brethren over there. The most sincere up in the country have maybe 15, 20, 30 people in their congregation. They all work for a living. Poor people. But you don't find amongst the big churches, they don't want the word. They don't want the doctrine. No, it might interfere with their program.